Hi there. Welcome again, or maybe you're joining us for the first time. I don't want to be presumptuous. To another episode. I'm sure it's going to be an exciting episode of Bill and Jerry's. I'm Bill, that's Jerry. Excellent podcast, aka Spilling the Career Tea. If you've seen us before, you know this is all about career readiness, getting students and early career professionals to figure it out, provide some insight, help them on their way, and get them on to a successful career path. But we are thrilled to have with us today for this segment, Steve Bloom from Yale in Career Services. He'll tell a bit more in a moment. And our colleague here, Sophia Lesson from the U, right. Shouldn't do that too often. From the University of Miami, who is a rising senior. And she'll tell more about that. And so we're going to run, right? Mm-hmm. Jerry and I will interject. Steve will. And Sophia, we're going to come right to you and say, tell us about Sophia. What's going on here?
Yeah, so I'm Sophia. I'm so excited to be here. I'm a rising senior at the University of Miami. I'm in the Harvard Business School. I'm majoring in marketing. I just started my internship this summer at Citibank in Treasury and Trade Solutions, and it's been a really fun time so far. Still getting settled, but so much to learn, and I've met really cool people.
Yeah. How'd you get here?
It's a long story. So I kind of began my research into financial services in last summer, my internship. I worked in alternative financing, lending for small businesses, which was the first step I ever took into the world of finance. Mm-hmm. I'm a marketing major, and I sort of chose that major on a whirlwind of, I thought it would teach me a combination of quantitative and qualitative skills, which it did. But I sort of realized quickly on that I might want to pivot from marketing and work a little bit more in finance, financial services. So after my internship last year, it really solidified that I felt a lot more intellectually challenged and comfortable in financial services, mm-hmm. and it's something I wanted to pursue. So that brought me to last summer, where I found Citi. I saw that it was a company, a bank that I really was interested in working for and learning more about to begin with. So I reached out to my good friend Kate Adler, who works in the personal bank. She's great. And she took the time to sit me down, teach me about the different parts of the bank, different businesses within the bank, because I really didn't know much. And from there, she recommended I speak to Maeve Spicer, which was our campus ambassador. And Maeve actually introduced Treasury and Trade to me, and I had never heard of it before. It sounded like something I'd be really interested in. I could combine my marketing background, but then also learn more technical aspects like liquidity, whatever. And I learned about TTS from there. She gave me the names of all of the past TTS summer analysts from UMiami. And from there, I really began to leverage my network. I coffee chatted with every single one of those interns. And each of those conversations, I brought a notebook, I took notes, and I gained one additional person to reach out to from each of those conversations, which, again, I think really helped leverage my network and grasp as much information about the bank, the businesses that are within it, the role of TTS, and then also just if I'd be interested in it or not, because it was still pretty early on in my search. Mm-hmm. And from those conversations, Citi then came to Miami. They did a takeover event, which they do every year. I was able to bring my resume, shake directly people's hands, meet HR, meet different analysts that had worked as an intern and then became full-time, and really just grasp the fact that I wanted to work there, and it was a bank I was super interested in being a part of.
Yeah, and we'll come back to those early experiences, but you've already told us a ton, mm-hmm. and the headline there, as we've discussed, is being prepared and being driven and being intentional. And there's probably some perseverance there that we'll get to. It doesn't always, I know this about you, work out the way you've totally had it planned. You had to pivot into yet another division, right? But Steve, to you, right? I mean, what she just articulated, we've talked about, it is the preparation, the commitment, the guidance. I mean, you can even go back, why'd you start at university? Why did you want to go to the U? Was that intentional?
Yes, it was intentional. I wanted to go there. I thought the business school sounded great. I thought other aspects, such as the weather, sounded great. It was well. I'm from New Jersey, right. So I really wanted to get out of the cold. And I also thought it was located near a city, which could give further opportunities down the line for my career, which was important.
What does she score?
So let me riff on what Sophia said. I think we would all agree that when you sort of dial back, it sometimes seems like a lot of what we do in life is luck. But actually, there are two things you can control that are relevant to your audience in this discussion, which are preparation and networking. And you've mentioned both of those things in your answer. So luck is not always what it seems to be.
Absolutely. The phrase, you make your own luck.
That's right.
Yeah, do you feel that?
Yeah, I think I really spent the time to prepare myself, and my work ethic kind of came into play of I knew that it was going to take time and diligence and research to get me to prepare for an interview and ultimately be successful in landing a job, and I don't think it was luck. Like, I worked for it.
Right. Which is key, right?
Yep.
You also mentioned another theme that I'm very familiar with and actually quite proud of. You leveraged your network. We've branded our relationship, I know this well, right, between City and the University of Miami. And that always wasn't the case. It took a while. And now UM is a target school for City, right? And you knew to leverage that network because you got introduced, right? And you showed up. And that doesn't happen often or all the time. When did you start doing that? What year?
Leveraging my network or just?
Just being intentional.
I think
probably wasn't your freshman year, or maybe it was.
I've always been an intentional person, and I knew nothing was going to be handed to me on a silver platter, and if I wanted something, I had to work for it. So I think that helped me going into college, but in my career, it probably started sophomore year of college, I would say.
And you, in the pre-interview, you also told us you were a dancer, or you are a dancer?
Yes.
And what'd you do, and how does that shape, how has it shaped some of your perseverance?
I've been a professional dancer from all my life, but majority of my high school career was spent dancing.
What kind
of,
can I
add? Every type of genre. I competed and I traveled with dance, and, you know, it might sound completely unrelated to what I'm doing now, but dance helped prepare me in ways that I can't even put into words. For example, the concepts of work ethic, preparation, time management. You know, I was 12 years old doing way more with my day than the typical 12-year-old. I was also in a space with industry, like, renowned professionals. I learned how to speak to adults, how to shake people's hands, what to say, what not to say, from a much earlier age than the typical kid. And I think that helped me so much in where I am now and what I'm doing, regardless of the fact that it's two completely different industries, so.
Yeah, 100%. How much of that was self-motivated versus influenced by family and friends?
I mean, my mom grew up dancing, but I would say it was all self-motivated. You know, many kids dance, parents will put their kids into dance lessons, but where I took dance from the typical kid that goes to a dance studio recreationally, I think was completely self-driven. It was something that made me so happy. It was such a good use of time. And like I said, it really helped me advance and gain skills that a normal kid wouldn't have.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Explain to her, or maybe, what is ECOG? I want to test it with her. I can't even say it. Go ahead, Steve,
sure,
you do
I'm happy to do this. So there's several concepts that I feel are very important in terms of guiding us as we think about careers or even relationships. What you love to do, what you do well, and what people need. By the way, the outcome of that might be what people will pay you for. And that concept I discovered very late, after all these years, it was only 6 months ago, is often referred to as ikigai.
Ikigai.
So passion, aptitude, need, and what somebody will pay you for. And, you know, this, of course, relates to the quest for what's a good career.
I'm sure the word is not, maybe, first time I've heard it when you told us, in your vocabulary, but the concepts?
The concepts definitely are. I knew what made me happy, but then at the same time, like you were saying, I knew what I needed to do to be successful and work hard and ultimately find the combination of both. So that's definitely applicable.
So there's a great deal of confidence that you exude. Who believed in you?
My parents. I mean, I've always been self-driven, like I said, but having a support network behind me has helped so much, especially as me and Bill discuss a lot, challenges, ways during my kind of path here that I had to pivot and something might have not gone as I wanted. Having my parents behind me and really they believed in me in ways that I didn't really believe in myself, and they knew I was capable of something if I just put my mind to it, and it really helped me.
Were you that way in high school as well? Because the dance started obviously early.
I think I definitely was, partly because I had to. You know, there was only so many hours in the day, and I had to really prioritize and manage school as my number one priority because I knew I was going to college and I wanted to pursue a career that wasn't just dance, but also pursuing dance because I loved it so much, and being able to balance both, prioritize both of them, but still time manage my day, make sure there was time for whatever I needed to do, and work hard in both and not let one slack off because of the other.
Yeah. So as we've heard often, right, very focused, very intentional. Are you unique as a rising senior? Not to in any way put any perspective on the you, but your BFFs, as you say, mm-hmm. are they like you? Or it depends?
I think we're all very different in terms of our interests and our skills.
Uniquely,
my best friends and my friend group were all pursuing different career paths, which is, I think, really cool. My roommate, my best friend, is in broadcast journalism, and she wants to be on the news. So our career paths couldn't be any more polarizing, but bouncing off of each other, and it's never a competition. We're learning. We're so different, and we can learn so much about each other, so that's been really nice.
Does your roommate have a internship?
Yes, she does. She's working for the local news in Miami.
In Miami.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's awesome. I want to bring you to, you participated, and we talked about this in another episode, career readiness at the university level. One of the things I happen to know, and Jerry knows, as graduates of the business school there and whatever, is you were required to take a class with Dr. Shapiro, right? That still existed in your time. Sophomore year, first semester. Tell us about that. What was it?
So it's a really unique class, I think, to the University of Miami. Dr. Shapiro runs, it's a big seminar. There's about 300 students in the class. And every week is a different topic. So for example, one week we'll be learning all about how to make our resume, ways to revise it, what should and should not be on it, spacing, things like that. Mm-hmm. Another day will be interview prep, where to find good resources, how to speak on a Zoom call and make yourself sound as best as possible, something like that. Another day will just be finding what you're interested in, what career path you may or may not want to take, what interests you, what doesn't. And, you know, some of these topics might sound simple at first, but there's so much to learn within them that I don't think you'd have access to knowing had we not had this class. You know, certain things to look for in a job application or a job description, I would just read past them, but Dr. Shapiro really had us lean, like, for example, at the bottom of an application, it'll say skills or interests mm-hmm. that we would want. Mm-hmm. Going directly towards those interests and reading them at the forefront of a job description, seeing if that applies to you, is not something I would think. Because we're so early on in our career, we don't really know what we're good at, what our strengths are, but kind of learning that early on and being able to decipher what job may be for me or may not be for me is something I really took from that class.
Does a Yalee get the same opportunity? It only happens, let me just clarify, in the business school of Miami. We'll get there one of these days, right? Why that isn't a common, required. In fact, truth be told, I run a little career coaching business. When I had my first discussion with her, she said, no, I know all that stuff. I said, all right, I'll just mentor you, but you're not going to be a client. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, does it resonate?
I'd love to see Yale address that academically in a formal sense. Right now, our solution for that is with the alumni cohort providing that wisdom. And we have a program called Careers Life in Yale. And as a member of the Yale Alumni Association, I help manage that program. And we direct alums to provide, as volunteers, that kind of wisdom. But it's not as well packaged, I think, as it sounds like yours is, which is wonderful.
Yeah, it was definitely a great class and something that really helped me leverage where I wanted to go and also just get my foot through the door in terms of...
Yeah. To illustrate it, we happen to know, we'll give a shout out to Dr. Mark Shapiro here for a minute. You know this, right? He came out of industry.
Yeah.
He came out of corporate life. He was a lawyer, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. He teaches business law. Mm-hmm. But his passion, I think, because we know him well enough, is to help students get ready for career, right? And I don't know, you know, back to you, Steve or Jerry, the perspective of academia versus the practical reality, as you have, Steve, coming out of real life, right? Yeah. And being able to apply
I want to jump in on that, again, bringing it back to Ikigai.
Yeah.
The fact is that I discovered very late in life something that I was passionate about, which is helping change lives by providing that kind of wisdom or arranging for that to happen. And as time went on, I think, you know, I was able to do it better and better, and it's meaningful. I honestly feel that career-wise, what I'm doing now is the most meaningful thing I've ever done.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's not, I mean, you had a very distinguished career, mm-hmm. As you've told us, in a lot of different, watch the other episode, by the way, you'll learn more about that. But yes, right? But to that point, and I think you feel the same way, or am I concluding incorrectly? You've had a very successful career doing a lot of different things.
I mean, it definitely makes a difference. When you look at the people that we're grouped with, right, you find out that you have a lot in common. And in higher education, the people that flock toward each other are the people that get it when it comes to how to get a job, because they have had these jobs. They've been in industry. They've had different experiences. We talked to Mike. On one episode, he came out of recruiting, mm-hmm. an executive search.
Yep.
Steven comes out of finance as a CPA. You find that the people who really focus on career readiness have some kind of background in entrepreneurship or something like that.
Yeah.
In fact, at Fordham, we have a very similar course, but we have it in sections, and they're smaller classes.
Is it required?
It's not required, and it's one credit, but we group first years, sophomores, juniors, and seniors, and we have sections in all campuses. So it is becoming more and more popular because the students are realizing these are things we need to be involved in, and we draw from all schools, not just the business school.
Right.
I want to build on something, Sophia, that you said about this wonderful course, and sort of backing up a little bit to what other influences we have that can help us make these decisions. One of them, of course, is a well-packaged course. I think it's fantastic. Another is perhaps institutional mentorship that provides you an opportunity to get that wisdom. But a third thing can be cohorts that just you've traveled through life with. I've been influenced by two of my siblings, who one started trained as an attorney. She's wonderful, my baby sister. And the other, my brother, who really was in the not-for-profit world. Both of them ended up migrating into higher ed. And I think that probably in a subtle way made my decision to go to Yale, but back to Yale, easier, because I saw that. You know, you don't want to be stressed by your peers, but you do want to learn from them. And you've mentioned that you have your friends who have all these different careers, and I'm sure that's made it sort of easier to think about your possibilities.
I think it definitely has, and like I was saying before, we're learning off of each other. We're all interested in so many different things, but it goes to show there's so many opportunities, and it can be overwhelming at this age when it's so early on in my career, and this is where you're supposed to move around and figure out what you may or may not want to do. And so owning in on one thing can be intimidating, because what if it's not what I want to do? And what if I'm, you know, wasting time? But I think you can really learn from so many people. Even at City, for example, there's multiple businesses. There's people on different teams doing different things. And people came from such different backgrounds to get there that I think just absorbing that information and learning as much as you can at this age is really helping me figure out what I want to do.
No, 100%. I'm going to pivot, if you'll allow me, because something else you told us, right, as we prepared for today's session, and it's complementary to what we've been talking about, and that is the preparation for the interview.
Yes.
We talked about that with Mike earlier in a session today, but tell us about that, right? How important is that? And to the student out there who's in that mode right now, from your perspective, what advice? What did you do to prepare? What did you do? Because getting the interview is critical.
Yeah.
But then you got to crush it. So tell us your interview preparation story.
I think to preface and start off, The biggest challenge I had throughout this process was ultimately thinking I was underqualified for such a job. So with that in the back of my head, it kind of structured how I went to approach the interview process, because I wanted to make myself feel as confident and as knowledgeable as I possibly could for the interview. So that being said, as soon as I got my interview, I went full force into preparing. So for City, I went straight to the City website, City Services website. I was taking notes on anything I could that would better help me understand what I was applying for, what that part of the bank even was. And then I think from there, combining everything I had learned at the coffee chats I was going to, I was getting really specific notes on these past interns' times at City, what they learned, you know, their tips for interviewing, and just combining all of this pool of information into words and sentences that I could use along in my interview. So I think one thing that I took from there that actually helped establish myself within an interview is the concept that we talk about a lot, is finessing what I knew into the responses. So during my interview, they can ask me something as simple as, you know, why this bank? So why City?
Yeah.
There's so many levels to answering this question, but I think I was really conscious and about the way I went to approach my responses. So I had multiple kind of reasonings for why City, but one of them that I really spoke a lot about was positive employee experience. And from there, the way I structured my response, I was able to, again, leverage the network that I had built for myself and all these people I had coffee chatted with, that I was literally name dropping every single person I had spoke to and what they told me. And it sounds silly, but it shows that I was willing to put in time and effort into a job that I really wanted. It shows that I was serious about it and I didn't just apply to it for fun. It was something I really wanted, and I think that really helped and went a long way.
Yeah, I love this phrase, and we've talked about it, and you know, finessing. So the point is obvious, as you just said. They might not ask me that question, but I know it might help distinguish me because I've done the hard work. So I'm gonna take that question and interject finesse, right, into the answer, something that I, am I describing it right? That's gonna help me.
And it's not, I mean, it's not an overkill. I'm not just like force-feeding information that I know, but there is a way to kind of weave it in that it makes perfect sense and it flows normally, but it shows that I put in maybe an extra step of effort or an extra ounce of effort that is helping to distinguish me from the hundreds, thousands of other applicants.
Because we all know that everybody that gets to the interview, or in finance, maybe other industries, the super day, the next and final round, they're pretty good. And no disrespect to my Ivy League guy here, but what did you give him the story? This is a great story, right? First couple of days?
Yeah, so I kind of felt like the first couple of days, I knew that the City connection to UMiami was strong, and there was a lot of people that work both as summer analysts and full-time at Citibank that came from UMiami. But I couldn't help but hear all of these interns were coming from such prestigious schools, and UMiami is a great school. But hearing that my fellow interns attend Columbia, Princeton, Harvard, Stanford, all of those schools, and they're so proud to say that's where they go, similarly to the way I'm proud to say I go to UMiami, but clearly on a different level, apparently. And so that's very similar to the experience that I was feeling in terms of self-doubt during the interview process, because I knew on my super day, I knew on my first round interview who I was being compared to, you know, they may go to better schools, they may be technically more knowledgeable than me, but I knew that what I had was work ethic, and I knew I could be taught anything that was needed for me. I knew I put the time to learn anything I needed, and I knew I was likable and could socialize with people.
So that's huge. Stephen, do you think they teach something at Yale that they don't teach at Miami?
No.
So why should she feel this way?
There's a really important lesson here, which is you really need to... Sessions like this help us all look sort of outward and sideways, but you really need to look in too.
Right.
You know, Sophia clearly knows who she is, and that has helped her get where she is. And if you don't know who you are, you're at a disadvantage, and you do.
Thank you.
But I think to build, exactly, and to build on that, tell me if you think this is fair, I think Miami figured out, or many schools figure out, we heard this from Tony previously, being the whole person, being balanced, being relatable, being able to talk to somebody and be sincere and authentic, might actually be more important than knowing how to do a discounted cash flow.
I completely agree.
Right? And I don't, doesn't?
Yeah.
And there are many schools that I think have figured that out
yeah.
to raise their impact.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely a basis of knowledge you should know when you're going into these interviews or such prestigious jobs, which is one part, but like you're saying, it's the whole person. You have to be personable, you have to be likable. People have to want to work with you, which yeah. I think is a whole other layer that is still being worked on and explored. Yeah.
So how are you bringing, I mean, it's been, what, 2 weeks?
Not June even.
7th. All right, but I'm going to ask
hours?
You.
Yeah.
You started on June 2.
Yep.
Today is whatever it is, the 18th, I think, yeah. Talk to us a little bit about that early experience. Any surprises as you've started your internship? Any learning so far? Are you feeling reasonably comfortable? And what's your goal? It's a lot of questions.
There. Yeah, so I think to start off, the biggest surprise, I mean, it wasn't a surprise because I didn't think any different, but everyone at the bank, regardless of seniority, is so willing to help and get you kind of settled, whether you have an assignment that doesn't make sense to you or you just need a simple question like, how do I set up the Zoom meeting? Everyone is willing to help. And I think that speaks volumes about such a prestigious financial institution. You know, these people, it's serious jobs. They have a lot on their plate, but they're still willing to help a summer analyst on their first day set up their computer. So I think that was a breath of fresh air. Again, it's something, it's not that I wasn't expecting it, but I was definitely pleasantly surprised. And in terms of my job itself, it's been so good. We're still getting settled, still getting assignments and tech things figured out, but everyone's been so great to work with. I'm already learning so much, and I'm taking the concept that I did at UMiami, which is coffee chatting, meeting as many people.
Inside.
Yeah, internally coffee chatting now, meeting as many people that work for all different parts of the bank, learning about what they did to get to Citi, their career path, their role at Citi, kind of learning about what I may be interested or may not be interested in is so interesting, and it's not something I could really grasp outside of working there. You know, you read articles about payments, you read articles about liquidity and trade, but that's just giving you facts. So actually learning about what the day-to-day for someone's role would look like and what they do is the most helpful resource.
So let's build on that. To the unassuming student out there who hasn't had that experience,
yeah.
did you have to reach, some managers will help you and they'll say, go write these 10 people, right?
Yeah.
And get a coffee chat, right?
Yeah.
Or because you've been advised by others, or maybe you just knew you were gonna reach out and introduce yourself, or how's that working so far?
So I think it goes back to Maeve Spicer and how much of a helpful resource
Maeve's,
she was.
Was a summer analyst.
Yes, she was
now
a summer
is starting full time next month.
Yes, exactly. And so she kinda like started me off, and then from there I guess the concept of me always being self driven and wanting to achieve as much as possible kinda also kicked in. So I knew that I should be coffee chatting. I've been told that by so many different people, you know, make the most out of these 10 weeks, meet as many people as you can. But I think I am genuinely curious and interested in these things. So reaching out to someone for a coffee chat, sitting down for 30 minutes, asking them all about their job, what they do, what they like, what they don't like, it doesn't feel like a chore. It's something I genuinely want to learn. And I'm using my knowledge and what I'm learning to just help myself day to day in my role. And it's
absolutely.
Really, really good.
And I'll take it one step further, and then we'll pivot to somewhere else. What do you, how do you prepare? I get this question a lot. What am I talking to him about? How do you prepare for meeting a colleague, probably more senior than you, or at least they have a few more years? So how do, what do you do to prepare?
So I think they're, where they are in their career is definitely something to be noted. You know, if you're speaking to an analyst that's 2 years out of college versus a director, the questions will differ.
Sure.
But one thing I always like to ask, if I'm speaking to someone that did the summer analyst program and then transitioned into full-time, how was their experience? What is a habit or a skill that they picked up on during the 10 weeks that really helps them stand out and distinguish themselves? Because again, if there's something they think that I would like to learn that too and do the same for myself, how was their transition into full-time? And also how is the team that they worked on during their summer internship different than what they do now? Because like I said, there's so many parts of the business. From there, I stalk their LinkedIn before I meet with them. And you know, most people at Citi have their position, their team, and kind of what they do. So I'll take some notes on that. I'll try to construct some sort of question about what they do. That's technical in the way that I did my research. I know what they do, but then also an actual curious question rather than just like something that is so textbook and could probably be answered by a Google search.
Exactly.
It's something I want to know, and it's not like I'm interviewing them about their job per se. So I think the combination of asking personable questions and also showing that you did your research, you don't want to waste their time. They have a lot going on in their jobs.
I want to jump in on that too. I'm a great believer in that last thing you said, which is almost kind of lubricating the interview by knowing something about the person beforehand. Mm-hmm. And it can lead to only good things.
Yeah.
You know, I saw that, I deduced that you grew up in New Jersey and you ended up in Miami. So there's an embedded question there. How did you end up in Florida? You know, and we talked about that before.
Half the school is from New Jersey, by the way, and I'm not.
The other
but
half
you don't
is
know.
From New York.
Yeah. It is true, right? Yeah.
So
but anyway.
One good thing is people are flattered when you've actually done some work on knowing who they are. And secondly, it leads to interesting questions, mm-hmm. which then get you to the rest of the interview, which may be what matters most.
Yeah. I mean, again, it's not like you're going to speak 30 minutes about where they're from, where they went to high school, or how they got the internship. That's not the point of it at all. But finding something that can make the conversation a little bit more personable and separate yourself from their day-to-day life of being so technical and so into their job, making it more of a casual conversation, I think can actually go a really long way with most people.
Yeah. So as we got a couple minutes left here, I'm going to put you on the spot.
Oh, no.
And we're going to do a reveal because I know the answer right here. If you'll...
Okay.
If you'll go with me on this, it's an easy reveal.
Okay.
If you're Sophia's manager or her HR program manager, what's your goal this summer? What are you striving for?
I would definitely say my biggest goal is to score a return offer.
There
I mean,
you go.
It's probably the goal of all the summer analysts at banks like these. Just distinguishing myself, leaving a valuable impact. It's such a short span of time. It's 10 weeks, but that is possible. You can make an impact and you can do real work that applies to your team, and I'd really like to come back next year.
There you go. You've heard it first. Here, before
if you get the return offer, are you going to do another episode?
Yeah, of course. I'll come back.
Okay. Right. And I think, I don't know, the hardest get, what's your view on it? It's getting that junior to see in this environment and in these industries because you had to start working on this 12 months ago, 15 months ago, if not more. Would you agree, Jerry? The hardest get is the junior to senior internship.
Absolutely.
I'm sure that was true for Leah, right, who we talked with before.
Right. Yeah, you start when you're a sophomore, and you have to know what you want.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which is hard at that age.
Yeah.
Right, and it's not easy. It's not an easy get. Everybody wants that coveted junior to senior. And one more pivot that we alluded to, but we haven't closed on, you had to make a pivot. You had an interest in one area, and it wasn't happening so quickly, and you weren't sure, because you would call me, where were you abroad again? Barcelona?
Florence,
right.
Yes.
I keep forgetting that. Like, what's up? I don't know. I don't work there anymore. I retired. Right? So what did you do?
So I was applying to two parts within Citibank simultaneously, and every part of the bank for the Summer Analyst Program recruits on an entirely different timeline. So this became kind of tricky after getting my first round interview because I had an interview in both, and I didn't necessarily get to compare the two because they were on such different timelines. I had finished my first round interview for the personal bank a month, maybe more, before I even heard back about my application to TTS. So having to make that decision there was definitely a pivot because I didn't know I had to make a decision at all or make one so early on. So again, I think going back to what I was more interested in or what I ultimately could see myself doing in the future, I chose TTS, but I was lucky enough that I was even able to interview for both. And
But there's an embedded message there. Yeah. You don't put all your eggs in one basket. And if you've done your appropriate due diligence, you can pivot.
Yeah.
And you pivoted, in this case, relatively late in the game.
Yeah.
And it came out well, right?
Super well.
All right. What other advice would you want? I don't know where I'm looking here, but what other advice would you leave the aspiring summer internship candidates at this point? I know it's early on, but based on your experience or your early reality, what are you telling them?
The number one thing is to start preparing early. I think the earlier you start, the less crammed you are for time, and also the more work ethic and research you can put into your preparation. You can never be overprepared. Hmm. You might find that you know so much more than you are asked in an interview, but it can only help you and make you sound more confident about what you're speaking about, which was my case at least. So overprepare yourself way more than you might ever think, and then also reach out to as many people as you possibly can, whether it's on your college campus or on LinkedIn. Leveraging your network, talking to as many people will help a lot.
That's awesome. Well said. All right, Mr. Goldstein, where are they going to see this wonderful episode? When
and where? We drop our episodes on the 1st and the 15th of every month. You can check us out at spillingthecareertea.com. We're on YouTube at Bill and Jerry's Excellent Podcast, a.k.a. Spilling the Career Tea. We're on all major social media platforms, and you can hear our podcast on Spotify, Apple, and any place else where you hear podcasts.
Thank you for letting the two of us spill tea with you.
Yes. Take a sip and then finish the whole cup, right?
Now we got to mop up. But that's okay. Join us next time on Bill and Jerry's Excellent Podcast.
And Steve and Sophia, again, thank you.
Thank you.
Engaging us this afternoon. Appreciate it.